Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6, the book today nobody believes in out in the world. I mean, we believe in it, but we're exceptions. Genesis 6, we'll pick up at verse 8 where we left off. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window in the ark for the ark. You shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood of waters on the earth to destroy them under heaven, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. To keep them alive with you, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten. You shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Let's pray. Lord, of course, this is something we would not know about except we hear it through revelation from you. You've told us the things that we need to know, that you want us to know regarding our redemption, and to bring godly fear in us, respect for your law, an understanding of the corruption of sin, and things that, Lord, are forgotten today. And we pray, Lord, for an understanding in us and also those who we minister unto. Lord, that is the point of conversion, when we believe. And so much of what is told to us in your word by our society is not believed. And we pray, Lord, for a usefulness in bringing the belief that only you can bring, but Lord, that you would use us as your instruments to bring so much belief in this area, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, scientifically proven fact, in the 60s we had visitation by aliens. Now, you think I'm crazy, maybe talking about like some of these crazy people talk about. But it's scientifically proven that in the 60s, it's been, today it's not understood or known as it was then. But in the 60s, without any doubt, this country was visited by aliens. They were called the Beatles. They came from England, and it set off what has been called Beatlemania. Women went absolutely crazy, screaming, passing out. I hear in France, the men did that. That's what Paul McCartney actually said. And when they went to France for the first time, the men were screaming at them in the same way. But if you were to talk to some of the young folks today, they know nothing of this. In fact, I think it was with Kanye, who is a, I don't know how to classify his music, but I think it was Kanye or one of these rapper types, modern singers, showed up at an event one time and sang with Paul McCartney of the Beatles. And one of the people watching that commented on Twitter, I guess it was, how nice it was for Kanye to bring along someone who was unknown, someone just getting started, Paul McCartney, to the concert with him to help that person's career. And I'm going like, who's the big fish in this ocean? They don't know. They do not know today about Beatlemania. It was in the early 60s, mid 60s. I think it was 66 when they did their big concert at Met Stadium in New York. It was just, you know, everything was the Beatles. And it's gone. In just 50 years. In 50 years, it's pretty much a non-event in the lives of the young people in our day. They don't know about it. Now, that is the way it goes with history. The Reformation was a big thing. 1500s, before and after. Huge. The return to the Bible from Roman Catholicism, the emphasis again on salvation by grace through faith. Huge. Forgotten. The Puritans. Forgotten. Jonathan Edwards. Morris. Charles Spurgeon. We know about him. Not many others. What about Jesus? All the miracles he did. Walked on water. Healed the sick. Raised the dead. A lot of unbelief there. Well, Genesis 6 brings us to another one, the flood. My goodness. Who believes in it? I've been focusing a lot of my comments from Genesis on the fact that all of this is met with unbelief. Just about everything we've looked at so far is not believed by the world. And many times it's sad that Christians will try to alter things to fit with modern science. Read an article today on some news site from a scientist who said that in his opinion today, scientific papers, things about global warming, things about, you know, climate change, all that, and other things, that maybe 0.1% of scientists today use the scientific method. The scientific method is like 8 steps of, you know, finding a problem and running some tests and making some conclusions and eventually drawing a conclusion based upon observable facts. It's the scientific method. They don't use that. They just, you know, if you pay someone to do a study on the effects of, like, climate change on the polar bears, well, they come out with something that is kind of in favor of the people who paid for the study. What a shock that is. So they don't do science, they do philosophy or, you know, politics. And so science is all in Genesis. This is all science. This is the rise of science. Here's how we make our basis of science. You know, science has certain hinges that you turn on. And based upon acceptable absolutes. And we have all of that here in Genesis. And the world doesn't believe in creation. The world system of unbelief. does not believe in how men and women were created, that there were male and female made. They don't believe that man and woman existed at the same time as all the animals were made, because modern evolutionary hypothesis is that the dinosaurs were around 65 million years before man showed up. They don't believe in sin. They don't believe in how it came about. They don't believe what the problem of sin is. They don't believe what God taught Abel or Cain about Abel, that if he does what was good, his countenance would be lifted up. Cain turned against that. That was a basic concept of the corruption of sin. And what needed to be done was the will of God, and you'd feel better. You hear people being told today they'll feel better if they follow God? No. So that's not believed. All those ages of people, how old they lived, how old they were, that was not believed. And then today we have, of course, the flood. And there's just, how could there be a boat that would hold all those animals? How could you get one of my favorite science fiction shows now? It's not even Star Trek. One episode, one of the characters says, there's no way this Noah thing is real. We got to interpret it as some kind of other thing, because there's no way you can get all those species on one boat. I looked today in a couple of places that the capacity of the ark with 15,000 species and a million species of bugs, which I think we could have left those off myself, but you would use up around the highest figure I saw of the capacity, 100% of the ark, the highest capacity I saw being able to be used up was like 61% of it. The rest, there was room, for whatever storage there was there, and all that was available. Some had it even down into 30% for the animals. Three levels. I think it would encompass about what a 500 or 600 car train would haul. So if you have a train with 600 railroad cars behind it, that's how much. So there was plenty of room. And some people, what about a dinosaur? You wouldn't get. Well, if there were dinosaurs to be brought on, you don't have to bring the grandpa on. Bring in Junior. People thinking about, if you see pictures of the ark, you've got a dinosaur, his tail out one end and his head out the other end. Obviously, you can't get much on the ark that way. But if you bring in little dinosaur, if that was it. The dinosaurs, I think, were a victim of the flood. I think they died either in the flood or after the flood, when the conditions were different than they were able to thrive in. Water animals were not needed to be brought on the ark. There was plenty of water still. So the ones that were brought on, there's plenty of room for them. Oh, you couldn't have gathered all those animals. How would you get all those animals gathered on the ark? I would have hated that job. Can you imagine what a job that was? But you kind of get a little bit of a picture. I'm not sure if I'm reading too much into this or not, but I just saw it as I was reading through it again here. Verse 20, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. It's almost like God is working with him to make them come to him so that, God's helping them herd the animals. because he wanted them preserved. So there's room. They're able to do it. As far as a big boat, it was 450 feet, the minimum, using a conservative, cubit, the minimum was 450 feet long. That's 300 feet in a football field. So you got a football and a half size that way, and 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, and three decks. That is a big boat, and it did was float, having engines. It wasn't given any kind of mechanical means of travel. All it needed to do was float. And it's very stable because of the way it was made. It just would float, and tests done with the same kind of boat would showed it to be very stable. The more weight you put on it, the more stable it got, because it was set deeper into the water. But it was designed by God. God said, make it this way. Put it together just this way. And that's what they did. When Dwight was here, Dwight said he'd been there where they, there's where the ark landed up there. They don't know where it is. They can't see it. But I saw a lot of quotes from people through the years in that area who see it, who know it's there, who've noted it, pieces of it. And it's obviously quite ancient. And it'd probably be in pieces, I would think. But it landed on top of a mountain. And so the world doesn't want to hear about it. And a lot of times you'll get people who are just so, they believe so much, they kind of make up facts as they go, and it ends up discrediting the science on it. But the ark, the flood, all of these things occurred, and God tells us about it. And we know that it is the nature of humans to forget that. Forget judgment, that there was judgment from God. Where's the promise of his coming, they say? For all things continue as they were from the beginning. And Peter says of they're ignorant of the flood. Because that was not the same thing from the beginning all the way through. It's of some interest as to how many people were on the earth at this time. The long years mentioned in chapter 5, where people bore children up until they're, 600 years old, and lived to be over 900, nearing 1,000 years. And they could have had, literally oodles of kids. I believe the population estimate I saw from some of what was on the earth at that time was similar to what is on the earth today, 5 billion people. If you take each of these generations over the length of 1,650 years, which are mentioned in Genesis, and you've got all these generations and their kids having kids that aren't mentioned here, you've got a population explosion. And with pure bloodlines, it is somewhere along the line of that, it would seem. 5 billion people. Now, the world was different back then. The topography was different. The flood made a lot of changes in the planet's surface. But there was obviously room on the earth for what we got today. And 70-some percent of the world is ocean. And there was not that then. Plenty of people. Huge amount of sinfulness. The Bible here says again, verse 11 of what Our text is that the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. That's a warning to us, really. Why are we told about this? People who feared the Lord, who wanted a good society, would look at this and they say, well, we have got to stay away from the corruption of sin. Look what it did. It made such a destruction in the world so that God actually did destroy the world. It was so corrupt. But there is really no fear of God to that degree because, again, the flood is not even believed to have happened. If you listen to people today, they also say the flood couldn't be worldwide. It was a local flood. I don't know if you remember. I'm trying to think of what coffee it was. There was a commercial back in the 60s where I think to emphasize the fact that more coffee came in the can than other brands. They actually poured coffee into a cup and it went above the cup a little bit. Y'all remember what coffee that was? But it went right up above the top. And I said, man, I don't drink coffee, but I sure hope they bring that. I want to see that get up there like that. Well, if the high mountain of Ararat, which I think is 17,000 feet high today, if it went above that, it's got to be worldwide. Because are you going to have that kind of thing standing up and off to the side? It's nothing. And plus there are some scriptures that talk about the length of the flood, that God, covered the world with it, that the world was just, inundated, because the problem was the world. And I think what often people think about is there must not have been very many people, and they just all lived right there in that local area. But I think everybody spread out. And like I say, there's estimates of like 5 billion people, which is, we've got, I don't know, is it 7 billion today or 8 or something? And most of those are in India. I've been there. So, and China. But people spread out, and for it to be a flood, they had to go throughout. And see, people just don't think the flood is real, but Jesus mentioned it. Matthew 24, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And the way Luke says it, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So the flood came. And there's evidence of it. You can find ocean animals, marine animals, on the top of mountains today in the fossil record. Fossils are made by sudden, suddenly being covered over. And with the lighter ones at the bottom and the heavier ones at the top. Things that know how to run away from floods were higher up. Things that just kind of, they were at the bottom. And the smaller ones. There's also discovery of warm weather animals in the Arctic. And a group that were covered up very rapidly. Because it didn't just rain. We've not gotten to that point here. But it didn't just rain. The deep broke open and the canopy broke. Remember, there was a canopy over the earth. There was water surrounding the earth, and there was water in the earth, and everything broke out. And the rain, and it just... David can give you all the mathematical formulas about all that hydrology, probably. But, man, that's a lot of movement of the earth. And things changed. People theorize that there was, in the early days, after the floodwaters receded, there were still bridges between continents. There are places where under the water is not that deep. The water rose after the flood when it all settled back down. And for a while, there would be people to be able to walk like to Australia and just have land bridges like that that all went away at some point. We've heard forever about Atlantis, the lost city of Atlantis. Things like that probably cropped up from, post-flood conditions. And some animals couldn't deal with it. Population growth statistics speak of, from the time of the flood till now, it'd be about what the number of people we have. If evolution was true, we'd have a whole lot more people, because we're talking about millions of years. So there's just, the sudden extinction of dinosaurs. Where'd the dinosaurs go? Well, the world says something catastrophic happened, a meteor. Something catastrophic happened to the earth. And it was a meteor. And the meteor killed the dinosaurs. Well, I think they've got the concept right. Something catastrophic happened, but it was the flood. Also, if you look at the moon, if you ever look at the moon when it's half, if you get a telescope, I have one, an older one now. If you ever look at the moon when it's at a half, you'll see the craters. The moon is absolutely peppered with craters from meteors smacking. Now, scientists say the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. Wouldn't we have, pretty much a pincushion of an Earth in all that time? But, if you look at the Earth, there's a few places where meteors have hit. There's one in Arizona, it's 2 miles. There are places where meteors have hit, but you don't find much of it. On the moon, all over the place, but there wasn't a flood on the moon. The thought is that, any kind of meteors up until that point were just, that evidence was gone, but there are meteors after the flood that you can find. There are various things that people look at. People say, the boat is so big. He had 120 years to make it. What can you make in 120 years? And might I also add, the pyramids of Egypt are pretty big. One of the seven wonders of the world, ancient world, and the pyramids. How'd they build those things? Build something like that? No, they built just huge things. How'd they do that? Well, back then, Tower of Babel was that way after the flood. Oh, they would build big. And that's what Noah did. And so you see God here laying out that he's done with the world at its current state. 5 billion corrupt people, say. Full of violence. Sin has gotten out of control. Sin is worse than any kind of catchable disease. And the good seed, those who walked with God, they stopped. And the bad seed, those who did not walk with God, they kept going. And it just was a mess. So the Lord tells Noah how to make the ark. And the last verse of our text says Noah did that. Whatever God said, that's what he did. And he says in verse 18, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your son, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. So the Lord chose to start over because the world was so corrupt and sin had so multiplied upon the earth. And he said in verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. They were a grief to the Lord. An active grief, not a passive grief, an active grief. We talked about the impassibility of God's emotions. He chooses to act a certain way in response to the way men are. He does not be made to act that way by the actions of others. So the Lord chose to destroy the world. And did so with the flood. Now after that, he said he wasn't going to do anymore. He was not going to destroy in the same way again. That's one way we know that it was a worldwide flood. Because the Lord has destroyed many times by floods since then. So basically you'd have to be calling God a liar if you thought he was talking about a local flood, because there's been plenty of local floods. That one up here at Toccoa Falls killed a bunch of people in the Toccoa Falls Bible College back in the 70s. Always floods killing people. And they come through here, they go into the West, and California, all around. But in a worldwide flood, God has never again attacked the world and destroyed the world. So we believe it. It is recounted in Scripture. Peter talks about it. Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So you see, the flood Jesus spoke of, the flood is a historical fact. Isaiah 54:9, for this is like the waters of Noah to me, the Lord said. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. See, the Lord uses a historical fact and illustration of a current reality that he's not going to be angry with someone anymore. Now, there are some interesting thoughts about this. One way you can gauge the hardness of hearts is that 120 years a man's building a boat and not one person. He was a preacher of righteousness and not one person was converted. And no one feared God. And they all perished. He preached. And we find only Noah at the end of it. He did his part. He did his job. He did his duty. He built the ark. His busy years. 120 years. From the time God declared he would destroy the earth until he did. And men remained corrupt and more corrupt until it was all over. There have been a few movies, I think, of late about Noah. I forget what movie that was that came out. I doubt there was more than... I didn't see it, but I heard a lot of bad things about it. Usually when Hollywood makes a movie about a Bible thing, it turns into something that's not in the Bible. But here in the Bible, we see where it was and how it happened. And we'll take up the actual flood itself, Lord willing, in the next time. Any thoughts or comments you have?